Next on The Balanced Word.
We can create systems of paranoia. We can create systems to try to gain control. Ultimately, we just let God do what he does. We let the Holy Spirit do what he does. We pray and make ourselves available to him. We spend time in devotions with God as our Father. We win because he wins. He always does. Don't give in to the pressure of the unknown.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Many today are longing for peace, and maybe to you, peace seems like an elusive target. I'm happy to say, in the midst of sorrow and trial, we can take heart and experience peace. How is that possible with all that's going on in our world today? Stick around and find out today on The Balanced Word. Pastor Dave Rolfe will take us to John chapter 16. We'll encounter wonderful truths, and when applied, we'll find strength to stand and peace for our own situation.
In verse 8, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will convict or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Let's stop there for a minute. He says, you look at the world system and you feel overwhelmed. And you think it's your responsibility to battle against the world. He says, that's not your battle. You aren't supposed to be responsible for breaking the system. You're not responsible for destroying the system, for even making sure that you put enough information out there that people will see the system for what it is. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to be taking care of the system. The Holy Spirit's going to be taking care of the world. And here's what he does. He will convince people within the system of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And he says there, of sin because they don't believe in me, righteousness because I go to my Father and you don't see him anymore, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So here's what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit will take the systems, take the worldly organization, that structure that is putting pressure on you, and he will convince them about the reality of sin. Now you go, I don't know. How is he doing that? Well, the word sin, hamartia, is a word that means something other than, something less than, or something that is not fulfilling. Something that is, you do things that cause you to miss your best opportunity at life. Everything that you do has the potential of being something that takes away from what God's best is for you. That's what hamartia is. Sometimes people say, you know, it's missing the mark. And it's true, not getting the prize, not living life, or as Paul describes it, you know, missing out on the glory of God, coming short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is working within people who don't know Jesus and allowing them to see that they're missing something, that there's something in their life, and they may show that awareness in different ways, like desperately trying to conquer addictions or really wanting to make it a world whereby people, you know, the whole legal system, trying to make more and more and more rules to try to stop people from doing bad things. See, the world realizes that we are prone to self-destruction. That's why we have so many laws. That's why everyone who ever runs for office does so at least partly on the thing of, I'm going to stop the bad guys. Well, the Holy Spirit is working within the system, over and above the system, to at least let people see sin. Let people see there's something here that's just not right. There's something here that's broken. So everyone in this world who is working on trying to stop those things that are bad, the Holy Spirit is working in that because understanding that we've sinned, understanding that we are missing what we could have and who we could be, is the influence of the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And again, we don't have to do that. It isn't our job to convince people that they've sinned. They're figuring it out on their own as the Holy Spirit works in their lives. But also, he says, of righteousness, because I go to be with the Father. When Jesus was there, they had a perfect standard for the way to live life right, the way to live life perfectly. Once he leaves, now none of us can say, look at me, and you will see somebody who's doing it right. You can say, look at me, and you'll see somebody who's really trying to do it right. I'm doing it more right than I used to do. But they need the Holy Spirit to allow them to see what righteousness, what right living, what good actually looks like. And the Holy Spirit does that. If you think about before you were a Christian, if you remember what that was like, there are certainly moments, and there are for people who don't even believe in a God, there are moments when it's like, whoa, I just saw a little flash of good that spoke to me, like that made me feel like there's something more here. It might be when a baby is born. It might be when you fall in love. It may be when you're playing sports and you have a big game, or when you listen to a piece of music and it just touches you and you're like, wow, that feels like it's coming out of nowhere. But if I'm looking at what is right, what is the way life really ought to be, we always have those moments. We have those little sparks. Well, the Holy Spirit is working within the system. Again, like how much would we have without systems that are operating? And yet he's working on the system, over the system, through the system, in order to help people to see flashes of right, flashes of goodness. And it's, you know, it's the goodness of God that brings us ultimately to repentance. It's not realizing how bad you are. Knowing sin only takes you so far, then it will usually leave you in despair. But seeing good, seeing right, seeing a life that inspires us, maybe somebody that we know that just lives life well and they die and you hear the stories about them and you're like, wow, that's what life is supposed to look like. That's the Holy Spirit working on a system that is broken, a system that will never provide that, but allowing people to see there's something else here besides just what I know. Even people who are pretty strongly persuaded that it's all about physics, it's all about science, it's all about biology, most of them can still say, but man, there are some things that just seem to go beyond that. I think it was Albert Einstein who said, there are two fundamental mistakes that people make in life. One, some people think that everything is a miracle. And he said, and other people make the mistake of thinking that nothing is a miracle. And I think that's a pretty good picture of someone who, although he may not have responded to the Holy Spirit in the way that he could have, he's at least acknowledging, wow, there are things that make us say wow in this world, in this universe, that we cannot explain scientifically. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will be doing that. And then ultimately convicting the world, convincing the world of judgment. Helping people to see that something actually needs to happen where there is some evil that not only is evil and we acknowledge it and it's contrasted with the good, but sometimes it just needs to be stopped. Someone has to step in. And when that happens, that's the Holy Spirit. Somewhere down the road, something has to be judged. Something needs to take place that stops this evil. And so he says, you will benefit from the fact that the Holy Spirit is working. While I've been here, Jesus would say, yeah, I've talked about sin, I've talked about righteousness, demonstrated it, and I've warned about judgment. But when the Holy Spirit comes, see, Jesus could only, because he confined himself to a human body, he can only be in one place at a time. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere doing this work, convicting of sin, declaring the beauty of righteousness, allowing people to be aware of how important judgment is someday, And he goes, that's actually better for you. But I'm also glad that he doesn't say, and this is your job to do. A lot of times when we think that it's the job of the church to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, then all we do is become a system. All we do is set up another structure. The Holy Spirit's doing that work, and we need to let him do his work. Now, he will use sometimes people within the system. Thank God that he does. But at the same time, it's his work. It's not ours. You can't talk someone in to knowing that they need Jesus. You can't convince people to submit to him. His job is to convince them, and he does that regularly, and he will do that constantly. But he goes on and says, I got a lot of things I could talk to you about, but you can't bear them right now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So in two respects, the Holy Spirit is on the one hand working on the system that Jesus has overcome, whatever system that is. But as he is working in that way, the Holy Spirit is also living inside of us, those who have accepted Jesus Christ. And so he is telling us the truth. He is allowing us to see the difference between the lies that the system creates and the truth of what God's word says, of what Jesus has told us. And so he will lead us, he will teach us, he will speak to us. And he says, in a way that, and there's a little irony here, because when it says that when Jesus was talking to them, there's a lot he couldn't tell them. There's a lot they didn't understand. It was sort of mystifying. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to understand a lot more than you do now. And then he goes on and he says, verse 16, a little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Some of the disciples are like, what's he talking about? And Jesus knew in verse 19 that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he says, when I'm gone and the Holy Spirit's here, it's still going to hurt. Everything that's valuable, it hurts to get there. And he gives the example of a child being born. It hurts like crazy to bear a child. Oh, you're all excited beforehand, maybe a little bit of labor, you know, a little pain, but ultimately it's like, yeah, it's kind of miserable. But man, having the baby, that's horrible pain. But he says, as soon as the baby's born, you're like, you forget all about the pain because the joy is so great. And so he's saying, yeah, life is going to hurt. But what comes out of that is so rewarding. It's like bringing a life into the world. It's going to make it all worthwhile. And he says, and then you'll be able to pray to the Father in my name, and he's going to answer your prayers. And you're going to forget all about how hard it was as you walk with him and as he works in your life. This is just, it's amazing stuff, he said, that's going to happen. Now, the Bible tells us that every time someone turns to Jesus and accepts him, that there's joy in heaven. Well, there's no greater joy than we can have here than to see someone who gives their life to Jesus, to be born again, to start life over. And so Jesus is saying, yeah, it'll hurt. The system puts pressure on you, but that can't stop the new birth. That can't stop God from doing what he is going to do, that won't stop him from answering your prayers. And that's something that's exciting. That's something that's really amazing. And then he goes on and says in verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I don't say to you that I shall pray the Father for you." Now you're going to pray for yourself. "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father, and I've come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." So he's saying, despite the pressure of the system, despite the pain that's in the world, as the Holy Spirit is working, you will begin to declare and to understand, "I am a child of the Most High God." The idea of following Jesus is helpful because, you know, we have all these stories about what he did and what he said. For us to relate to God as our Father is sometimes more difficult than that. Because, I mean, let's face it, for some of us maybe that had great dads, it's easy just to think, yeah, God the Father is like my dad. But for so many people where their dads really, they weren't that great, they have a hard time connecting to the Father. So they like to think about Jesus all the time, but they don't think about what it is to be secure in a Father. Your Father is looking out for you. Your Father is providing for you, protecting you. Your Father is answering your prayers. So Jesus says, despite the pressure of the system, you're going to figure out that you are close to your Father. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "my Father," a whole bunch of times. The first time he says, "your Father," is in John 21 when Mary Magdalene sees Jesus after the resurrection and he says, "I got to go to be with my Father and your Father." You imagine how that affected her at that point? And he says, for you guys, if you are going to overcome, it has to be because you know your Father. You know that God is your Father. Jesus talked about his Father all the time. It was all about the Father, his relationship with the Father. When he went off to pray, it was to spend time with his Father. What he wanted to communicate was, "I want you to know the Father." And now he says, when I go away, after you feel like, boy, do we miss Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to help you connect with God as your Father. And then it won't just be, oh, it's just Jesus, 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 or, oh, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. He says, man, what really is powerful is when you realize you are a child of the living God, the one who made everything, the one who rules over everything, the one who Jesus obeyed, the one who loved Jesus and committed everything into his hands, your Father. You can have a relationship with him. That's what Jesus wanted for the disciples more than anything, to figure out what it is to be the children of God. And when you are God's child, when you are a part of his family, when he's your dad, other systems just seem really cheesy. Other, you know, organized attempts at trying to do something great for God, you can look at that and just go, it's just a system. It's just trying to pressure me. It's just the world. It's just the cosmos. But man, I have a personal relationship with the Holy God. And that means everything to me. Now, after Jesus explained this, the disciples, I love this, they said in verse 29, "Oh, yeah, we see. Now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech." He's saying the same stuff he had been saying earlier when they were confused. "Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." So they're like, oh, now we totally get it. It's like, what? You don't totally get it. Come on, he just said what he kept saying over and over again. They were just sick of feeling stupid because he was trying to explain it and he kept saying the same things. And they're like, never mind. It's like if you have a class where the teacher's really smart, but you know, some teachers just speak above the students and they go, "Any questions?" And you're like, "I can't even think of an intelligent question." And so everyone acts like, "No, no, we get it, we get it." He goes, "You don't get it. Look at what he said. Oh, you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, it has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Because you don't get it, but you will. When you are alone and the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you will start to get it. But not until I have risen from the dead, spent some time with you, and then I ascend into heaven. Now it's just you. Now what are you going to do? Now what's going to happen? Are you going to conform to a system? Are you going to live in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And in fact, in an amazing way, what Jesus talks about here and what he prays about in John 17, it happened. Where guys who were scared of their shadow had this amazing courage. And it has happened throughout history since, that Christians who, under the power of the Holy Spirit, operate outside of a system where they're depending on an association or a group to kind of, you know, oh yes, I'm a part of this, that those who simply say, I am a child of God, Jesus Christ died for my sins, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, overcome every system that would try to destroy them. And the result of all of that is peace. I have come that you would have peace. Yes, in the system, you will have pressure. But cheer up, man. I've won. I, in the final analysis, I won. So we can create systems of paranoia. We can create systems to try to gain control. Ultimately, we just let God do what he does. We let the Holy Spirit do what he does. We pray and make ourselves available to him. We spend time in devotions with God as our Father. We win because he wins. He always does. Don't give in to the pressure of the unknown. But you receive him and you walk with him, and it turns out knowing him is knowing the Father. Knowing him is to be filled with his Spirit. And he's got this. And the system will never win long term. The Son always wins. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the assurance that we can have peace despite the pressure, that we can have assurance despite the pain, because we know that in the end, you win always. Thank you for that guarantee. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Well, you have some time left, so let's see what's in store for next time.
When the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. Literally, it can be translated, train up a child in his own way, like to find their place, because ultimately, you just want them to have joy. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you pray for people to have joy. If you pray for your kids to be happy, you are praying for them to be strong, because joy always produces strength. Joy, if you find something that you love and you do it with your life, man, you will be so effective, so strong. That'll be the best life. You don't have your dreams for your kids, for them. You need to pray that they will find what makes them happy and they're able to pursue that, and that happens. And Jesus recognizes that with the disciples. He wants them to have joy, full joy.
John chapter 17 teaches us a lot about how to pray. Come back next time as Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches us how to pray like a mom on The Balanced Word. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice.